Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There was a presentation at Eglin where they were basically unveiling an F-35 training, testing, and improvement program for the Air National Guard. Very, very interesting stuff. And in the discussion around that, okay, Colonel Daniel Whitmer, Roscoe's his call sign. He's the commander of the Air National Guard, Air Force Reserve Command Test Center, ATAC, they call it, AATC, in Tucson. And he was there speaking, and he talked about the particulars. And then you had Major General Regina Sybrick, who's the 10th Air Force commander, talking about it as well. But in between those two, you had a speech that I think was, you know, not exactly planned. In fact, he said that. But it, I'll just be honest, it opened my eyes, made me think about kind of everything going on around us in a different way. And so I wanted to share it with you because, to me, this was the most important thing I've heard anybody say. God, I don't know, in a month, in a year, like in a year, like just it hit me that much. Okay. So that's why I wanted to share it with you. This is two-star Major General Duke Spirak, call sign Juice, who is the acting director of the Air National Guard.
I got a speech here that's really well written. It's about an hour long. I'm not going to use it. I'll be able to send it out to you later. You can read it. Have fun with that. I am, though, particularly moved today, and I got a couple things to say.
So unscripted, unplanned, unvetted, presumably comments. But I will tell you, pretty potent.
I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't think we got a fight coming. If you don't think that, you've probably got your head in the sand, right? I think as warriors, we understand and realize this, and it's our solemn responsibility to take care of our force.
Now, when he said that, what I hear, you know, and I do not want to put words in the general's mouth, but what I hear is we are going to war against China. And not as a theoretical, as a possible, as a maybe, not as a something we can deter and discourage, although we'll try our best. In his mind, and it's not just a prepare as if, it's a prepare because. And I don't know about you, but when I was listening to this speech, it made me realize that as much as I'm into the military and as much as I'm into national defense, as much as I'm into foreign affairs and understanding the world and thinking honestly about it and knowing about Taiwan and knowing about the fake islands in the South China Sea that China has been building and the interference with freedom of navigation and, you know, interference with, airplanes and the acquisition they've been on around the world to shipping and, mineral rights and drilling and transportation corridors like the Panama Canal or other base access features around there. Like, China and building ships and building planes. And yes, they're not great quality, but at a certain point, quantity is a quality all of its own, right? So they have been doing this and interfering with our schools and infiltrating our campuses and investing heavily in purchase. Like, this is real. I still know all of that and had been thinking, but we don't necessarily have to be at war with them. Surely, if we are strong enough, we can deter it. We can discourage it. We can do the thing that big militaries do best, which is not have to fight because they make people not want to fight us. And he is convinced, unless I am really misunderstanding him, he's convinced they cannot be stopped. They cannot be discouraged. They cannot be deterred. They're going to have to be stopped.
Do our priorities, does our pace, what we're working on, how we're training, how we're generating readiness, does it match that reality? I ask that question of myself every single day.
Are we preparing for a world in which we won't have to fight, or are we preparing for a world in which we will have to fight?
The privilege of my position, I have become singularly obsessed with wartime readiness. I know in my heart, I know it, that at some point in my tenure, I'll be sending our men and women off to war. I'll be patting them on the back. I do not want to have any regrets at that moment that I haven't done my level best leading up to that point to ensure that I've enabled and empowered, that I've fought for the right things, I spent money in the right way to have our men and women ready for war. And it's going to happen. It is.
So that means that the kids who are in junior high right now and the kids who are in high school right now are going to be deployed to fight China, is what he's saying. And are we recruiting? Are we training? Are we testing? Are we developing? Are we innovating? Are we preparing for that fact in the future within the next 5 to 10 years or less? And it keeps him up at night, making sure that he doesn't have any regrets later when this does happen, that he and his people didn't do more, his 100,000-person command didn't do more to prepare them for that and to prepare us for that. We'll continue this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing the normal construction delays through that, about a 5 to 7 minute delay. Also, southbound on Highway 29, starting around East 10 Mile Road all the way down to 9 Mile Road. Seeing some delays there also. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Major General Duke Kalsine Juice Spirak talking, two-star talking at the unveiling of the F-35 testing center at Eglin that's going to start working on, for the Air National Guard, it's going to start work, and the reserves going to start working on making the F-35 most compatible and usable and really fleshing out its capabilities in the most important ways. He's talking about imminent war with China, and not as a possibility, not as a something we can deter or discourage, but as something we're just going to have to do. It's unavoidable in his mind. And again, I had been thinking, it's going to be okay. You know, this won't have to actually happen. And he's saying it's going to happen. And we better get going because we're not ready for it. And the pace of preparation is not adequate.
Anybody else in this room here in the test community frustrated looking at our adversaries at the pace at which they are innovating? We should be offended by that. Yet we are our own worst enemy. I'm not saying anything denigrating. I don't mean to denigrate our test apparatus, our industry. We are what we are. We are safe and effective. But we must move faster. Creating this air dominant CTF here with the F-35 is an exemplar of that.
Are we really training with war in mind, or are we training with mere deterrence in mind, or are we training with, like, safety in mind because we don't really think this is ever actually going to push to shove? Because, you know, look, if safety is your primary goal, then you protect a couple of lives on this side of the time spectrum. If war and winning at war is your ultimate goal, look, a couple of lives here is nothing compared to 50,000 or 100,000 then, right? I mean, that's how I hear him talking about this.
For those who might not be fully acquainted, Roscoe gave a great roll-up of the test center. Something about the culture of that organization that I so love. There's all kinds of great quotes hanging from some of the great test center directors all around the building. One of which I appreciate most is, it doesn't count until it's flying in the field, right? And I know many of you are test professionals in the room, marvel at what we're creating, but must think to yourself, it really doesn't matter until it's strapped to this one and this one, being used by a warfighter. All the bugs worked out, TTPs worked out, and it's generating lethality. We must move at the speed of relevance.
And if war is imminent, then the relevance is now.
What I also admire about the Air National Guard Air Force Reserve Test Center, it is a true manifestation of our culture in the Guard and the Reserve. This isn't a complaint about our reality, Gina. You and I talk about this all the time. We are asked to generate the same level of readiness for about, you know, 30 cents on the dollar, however you want to measure that. That's our lot in life. In many ways, it's also the wellspring of our strength. Because if you're never fully funded, you never have all the resources you need, not that anybody does, you naturally become an innovator. You're trying to figure out the 80% solution for 20% of the cost. Another famous test center model.
Right. The necessity is the mother of invention, and deprivation, as any Marine or Army can tell you, you know, you never have enough stuff, right? In fact, you train under circumstances of not having enough because, you know, if you're always dependent on the shiny, perfect, polished, you know, equipped, you get into the field and that won't be the case and you won't know what to do, right? You learn how to fight under adverse circumstances of all sorts.
The progress must start today, but it must increase tenfold. Trust me, I'm telling you, because if you believe in your heart like I do, that we got a fight coming. That's the sense of urgency we must inculcate into our test apparatus. And I have every confidence you'll make it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
All right, so first thing before I get to my analysis, John, you've heard this twice now. I did it at 5 o'clock and did it now. Do you think I'm misunderstanding him at all?
No, okay. You're not. Okay. I'm very clear.
Yeah, he thinks war is coming with China real soon. A matter of a couple of years, probably. He doesn't give a timeline, but he said within his tenure, you know, and he's a two-star. He's well into his, you know, career. He's not like, he's not talking 20 years from now. All right, so here's my takeaway from this. Here's what it provided to me. If you live in a world where conflict with China is a maybe, if you live in a world where conflict with China is discourageable or deterrable, you have one set of priorities and one way of thinking about what's the right thing for America to be doing. If you live in a world where war with China is a future fact within the next couple of years, we better get going and get ready for it, and you behave differently. And I don't think a two-star general is going to go out and on a limb and speculate and say some wild thing that isn't well believed within his community, right? So that's got to make me believe that the Pentagon, SecDef, White House, this is their view. It's not an unreasonable view given the way China has been behaving over the last couple of decades. It's a very reasonable view. But if the view is, we're going to be at war with them, what do you do today? Do you maybe inflict 145% tariff on China and try to destroy their economy in advance so they can't build their war machine anymore? Do you maybe do everything you possibly can to onshore manufacturing capability so that we're not dependent on foreign sources for building our military industrial capability? Do you maybe try to trim fat in the military at the top that's unnecessary or unhelpful? Do you maybe eliminate counterproductive programs or philosophies that are getting in the way of the core mission of being a warfighting unit? Do you maybe actively encourage all of our allies to spend more on their military defense and their preparation so that there's more stuff out there ready to be deployed in, unfortunately, the case that's going to come to be? You know, is Trump just flailing around and doing crazy ideological things that he promised he would do? Or, I mean, is he doing what makes sense based on the possibility of us having to be at war with China in 2 years? Or after he leaves in 5 years, if it's his, you know, his successor? Is it important to have control over the border? Is it important to deport dangerous illegal immigrants? Is it important to, you know, think about, like, things you might not normally think about in this context. Is it important to encourage people to have more babies? Because babies grow up to be soldiers, and we're going to need soldiers. Is it important to acquire mineral rights with a country that might be rich in them, like Ukraine? Is it important to talk about the geographic strategic value of a place like Greenland or the Panama Canal or Canada? You see, what this did for me, and I, look, this is all speculation by me because I haven't heard Trump or anybody in the administration say it this way. But when I heard him talk about war with China being imminent, and I started reevaluating all the things that are being done by the administration, it all seemed to fit a pattern. A pattern of act now, act fast, act decisively, fix all the problems all at once, because whereas J.B. Pritzker is campaigning for 2028 on a platform of, you know, terminate your pregnancies and take care of the transgender people and make sure that the unions get enough money, Trump seems to be acting on the reality of we need a lean, effective fighting force. We need more people. We need to have manufacturing capability. And we need to do everything we can to not be helping China right now. We need to be interfering with them as actively as we possibly can until push comes to shove, because push is coming to shove. Again, this is largely speculation by me, but speculation based on a new way of looking at this problem that I hadn't been looking at this way even as recently as a couple of days ago. John Pickens has traffic on the 5. John?
We have a fender bender that just happened on Highway 90 westbound in front of the raceway just east of Avalon. The right lane is blocked, so definitely be aware of that. That's always a trouble spot, so make sure you get in that left-hand lane. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Discouraged, defeated, disappointed, you're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Spring cleaning and remodeling is in the air. And at Jonathan's Flooring, you can get your beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation with a large selection of tile, carpet, and the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors this spring. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring, North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Okay, Ferris, can we just let it go, please?
Ferris, please. Come on, can't too far. You're going to get busted.
A, you can never go too far. B, if I'm going to get busted, it is not going to be by a guy like that.
By the way, I do want to give real genuine thanks to WEAR for carrying that speech at Eglin last week, because if I hadn't heard that speech, I wouldn't have thought about it the way I'm thinking about it now. And I always appreciate when somebody gives me information that changes the way I think about something. 729 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're just tuning in, have no idea what I'm talking about, go catch the podcast either on the News Radio Pensacola app, or, you know, when John posts the podcast here at 8 o'clock, you can go back and listen to the 7 a.m. and you'll hear what I'm talking about. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Another round of voting at the Vatican has passed with no pope selected. Black smoke seen today coming from the chimney at the Sistine Chapel.
Is it me, or is this one of the weirdest things to cover as a news guy?
It really is.
And we still have no information.
And still no news.
But this is our story. I see, like, the TV is just, you know, hours and hours and hours of, you have nothing to tell us.
I suppose anyway. It's of interest for a lot of folks.
No, it's not that. It's very important. It's just, what's new? Smoke, yes? Okay. Go on, sir.
And real quick, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy planning to announce a new plan to overhaul air traffic control, and that should be out later this afternoon.
All right, very good. Thanks so much, David. I appreciate the update. Is it white or is it black? That's the news.
News News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump first teased, then confirmed the trade agreement with one of our greatest allies.
It is a great honor to have the United Kingdom as our first announcement. Many other deals, which are in serious stages of negotiation, to follow. The UK is in a bit of a unique position because it did not fall under the reciprocal tariffs, but is subject to a 25% levy on steel, aluminum, and cars, plus that global 10% tariff that does remain.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff at the White House ceremony, 10 a.m. Eastern, the Oval Office. Black smoke rising from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel.
That means that the Cardinals have voted twice this morning, and no pope has been picked.
Fox's Alex Hogan in Vatican City. A cardinal must reach two-thirds of votes to become pope. As many as two more votes could happen today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 70 degrees. We've got a beautiful morning, some sunshine right now in Pensacola. Escambia County deputies continue the search for 19-year-old Antonio Larkins in relation to a homicide investigation. Two other men, a 21-year-old and a 17-year-old, have been arrested and charged in the case. Deputies say the three men shot and killed 20-year-old Andrew Sanders during a marijuana transaction last April. His body was found a few days later in a car in an open field around Salem Street and Courier Place. If you've got any information on Larkin's location, contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Well, the city of Pensacola is still working to get the ball rolling on the Bay Bluffs Park repairs and renovations. Apparently some type of an administrative holdup with the grant funding.
So it's stuck in no man's land between DEP and Conservation Florida. It's their grant that they helped us get. So I've been calling our lobbyists actually in Tallahassee this week to try to unfurl that. So ball's not in our court yet, but we're aggressively trying to get it in our court so we can get this going.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, he says the money is still there for the project. The city's just working through the administrative issues. Bay Bluffs Park has been closed since March of 2023 due to safety concerns. Current plans are to renovate it and reopen with nature trails instead of the old wooden boardwalk system. The city's timelines call for the park to possibly be reopened as soon as early 2027. Two town officials have resigned in Century. North Escambia reports seat five council member Sandra McMurray Jackson and town clerk Carrie Moore both submitted resignation letters. McMurray Jackson has served since 2010. She wants to step away and focus on other things. Moore has not specified a reason for her resignation. Governor Ron DeSantis says the state house is working to kill property tax relief in the state. He said yesterday he plans to veto a bill to cut the sales tax if it reaches his desk. He's calling for a property tax cut for homesteaded Floridians. The governor said that would be better because it would be targeted towards year-round residents. Senator Rick Scott wants Wall Street to take action against China. Scott sent a letter yesterday to leaders of the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ. He's asking them to delist and deregister Chinese companies that aren't following the U.S. law. He writes that China has a consistent record of lies, deception, and blatant refusal to comply with U.S. security laws. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission identifying the victim in that fatal alligator attack earlier this week. They identified the victim as a 61-year-old woman from Davenport. An FWC spokesman says the woman and her husband were on a 14-foot canoe when the gator thrashed, throwing her into the water. She apparently landed directly on top of that gator and was bitten. The husband was trying to fight it off at the time. Officers later recovered the woman's body from Lake Kissimmee and recovered two alligators from the lake. They said both of those gators measured 10 to 11 feet in length. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, John Pickens.
Well, good morning, David. Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still just that one accident on the books right now on Highway 90 westbound right there just east of Avalon. The right lane is still blocked there, and I'm seeing some delays on Avalon. Let's see here. I-10 is actually moving a little better today. I-110 is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
Showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. 60% chance of rain, high near 78 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Friday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 80 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Saturday with a high near 79 degrees and a low near 65. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it's 70 degrees with partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Nintendo said it expects to sell 15 million units of its new Switch 2 console in the fiscal year ending March of 2026. It is the first forecast for sales from the Japanese gaming giant since it announced the successor to its successful Switch device. Shipping giant Maersk has reported preliminary underlying earnings of just over $2.7 billion for the first 3 months of the year. That's up 70% from the same period a year earlier and above the $2.6 billion expected by analysts in an LSEG poll. Maersk kept its 2025 profit guidance unchanged between $6 and $9 billion, but said global container market volume growth has been revised to negative 1% to 4%. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman wrote in a blog post that the company has named Fiji Simo, Instacart's CEO, as its head of applications. Simo joined OpenAI's board last year. Futures are sharply higher after Trump announces the UK-US trade deal. That's Your Money Now.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air. Tune in today at 9:30. See you groovy people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us by phone, we have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So I know we don't want to say it out loud too much, but we've had, several weeks now where low incident of high interest, high news crimes, which is good, right? We celebrate that, right?
Yeah, what we talk about mostly on these shows is major crimes, and we've been it's been a while since I've had anything to talk about, which is a great problem to have. There's lots of other cities our size and even smaller that have have no problem coming up with radio content on a weekly basis.
Right.
So it's a great problem to have.
I will take it. It's certainly a good thing. One of the things you have seen is an uptick in e-bike and e-scooter thefts. Is that right?
Yeah, we have. So if you've an e-scooter, an electronic bicycle, anything electronic, you need to keep an eye on it. Put it up. Some of these cables that people are using to secure them to bicycle racks are just not good enough anymore. These people that are going around looking for these bikes specifically have cutters that will cut right through these cables. So there needs to be a better way to secure those, thicker chains maybe, or putting them inside. And certainly another thing that would help is to put a tracker on them. So we have seen an uptick in those thefts lately.
Are the I know that the cable feels secure, but it's not. What about those, like, Master Lock U, the big black bar-type locks, the two-piecers? You know what I'm talking about? They're like a like a club for your bike.
Yes, that's better. Anything that's thick that would be difficult for someone with a device that would cut through cable or chain. I mean, if a person wants it bad enough, there's plenty of things you can get at a hardware store that's going to cut right through it. But the thicker it is, the better it's built. It's going to take more time to do that.
And this is interesting to me because this is in contrast with when we talk about cars. The advice is locking your car is enough. They're not going to bother breaking the window when there are unlocked cars to go to. But when it comes to a, you know, $600,000-$700,000 e-bike or something like that, they're willing to go to the trouble instead of going to the next one to try to find one that's unsecured. Is that right?
Well, yeah, there's a difference there because we preach to lock your cars because they're not looking to steal the car itself. They're looking to steal what's inside of it. So, you know, with the bikes, obviously they're going to steal the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they're out looking for these. There's a market, there's a market to sell those. So, yeah, there's a bit of a difference there on why people are stealing e-bikes versus getting into cars.
I know this is not related to that, but you got me thinking about this all of a sudden. Do we have e-bikes or scooters for the police? I know we have bike cops, but is that a mode of transportation that you guys use or are thinking about using for, you know, like downtown or at events or anything like that?
Yes, we do. In fact, we've got one, a huge one out at the airport. I was just out there working last night and was looking at that thing, and I got to tell you, I'm not going to get on it anytime soon. It's hard to call them a bicycle anymore with the size of them, the size of the frame, the size of the tires. And
yeah.
But the answer to that question is yes, the PPD does employ e-bikes.
I look at these things, and, you know, I'm a traditional bicycle rider and, of course, a driver. I find the e-bikes very frustrating because they don't quite go fast enough to be regular traffic, but they often pretend like they're regular traffic, and they're often not in the bike lane, not in the sidewalk, that kind of thing. Have we seen incidents because of that, or are people basically just taking account of it and driving around them safely? It seems to be all the time now, by the way.
Yeah, we haven't seen a real big problem with it. It was
okay.
The same thing when we had the scooters come to town.
Sure.
There was initially an issue with that, but most of the people on bicycles and e-bikes are maintaining lanes and going by the law. Of course, you're always going to have people that don't, and when we see that, we will stop and educate people.
And the safest rule is give them 3 feet, right? That's the basic, is you got to give somebody 3 feet if you're going to pass them, and you can't always pass them. Sometimes you just can't. When it comes to, I know they've been, you know, Channel 3 has been featuring the story. Studio 850 has been doing the story a lot on the school zone speed cameras in Fort Walton. I actually saw those myself about a month ago, and I didn't think a lot of it at the time, but I guess they just went active. We do have the buses have do not pass me cameras on them in Escambia County, or at least we're implementing that, but we don't have anything like this in Escambia. Is it something that you guys are looking at as a possibility?
Not at this point. That's something that could be in the future, but not at this point. Right now, we're concentrating on the red light cameras. Those are labor intensive as far as having officers look at each and every event to see whether it was an actual violation or not.
Right.
And if we went to speed cameras, which, again, that could happen sometime in the future, but that, again, is something that an officer will have to look at each and every violation. So at this point, no.
General assessment. I know passing school buses is an amazing problem. It is bizarre to me how many people do this on the right, on the left, all over. Anyway, how much of a problem in the city of Pensacola is speeding in school zones?
Oh, it's a problem. It is a problem, and especially when school first starts or when they come back from vacation or any time of any kind of break. But yeah, that's an issue that we deal with. We have a traffic unit that goes and concentrates on those areas at different times, and it's surprising how many people will fly through a school zone or pass a school bus, which is an extremely dangerous thing to do.
Completely agree. We're talking to Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, hang on for me for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with that accident that happened on Highway 90 westbound in front of Raceway just east of Avalon. Right lane is still blocked and traffic is blocked all the way up to Dogwood Drive. So be prepared for that one. You might want to find an alternate route. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood from the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I don't know how familiar you are with this incident that took place up on Highway 97, where an ECUA truck was driving north and turning left onto a cross street in a two-lane, like a highway with dotted lines, basically, a rural highway. And a semi came behind him, passed him on the left while the ECUA truck was turning, and the ECUA, and they collided, and one person was injured pretty badly, but the ECUA truck driver, the trash truck driver, actually got cited for somebody hitting him, coming behind him, and on the left. Now, I know you're not FHP, but I know you know the law, and as I read the law, you have to yield to a car coming behind you and passing you on the left if they're legally allowed to do that. This seems insane to me. Can you explain this, or am I wrong about the law?
No. I mean, you have to, anytime you're making a left turn, you have to make sure that you're not cutting in front of somebody that's coming at you. And if a vehicle is allowed to pass you, like on a dotted line, you have to also make sure there's nobody coming around you. And I can see an issue with this is because people will, they see that it's a garbage truck, and they constantly pass them every day because they're on their route. They're constantly stopping and people going around them. So, again, I don't know exactly what happened in this case, but I can imagine if the driver of the log truck thought this vehicle may be making a pickup or whatnot, decided to pass him. But either way, before you can make a left-hand turn, you've got to make sure you're clear to do so, both in front and behind you.
Okay, I actually see that scenario, and certainly with a trash truck, it's a little bit unique because he might have been going slow and making pickups or whatever, and I agree with you. People pass trash trucks all the time on the left. But I'm thinking not so much for the trash truck scenario, but like me as a driver. If I'm on some highway and I'm turning left, or maybe there's cars behind me that are waiting. I mean, if they go on the right, that's normal. It may or may not be legal, but it's at least normal, and it's not going to produce a collision. But if I'm waiting to turn left and somebody just decides, I'm sick of waiting for this slowpoke, and they decide to pass me on the left as I'm preparing to turn with my signal on, that's my fault if they hit me?
Now that's a different issue. That vehicle's trying to make a left turn, so you can't just pass them on the left in that situation. That's why I brought up the trash truck. I can maybe imagine why a pass on the left was happening in that particular situation.
Okay.
But either way, you still, as an operator of a motor vehicle, you've got to make sure that you're clear all the way around before you make a left turn. So seeing a situation, if it was a passenger vehicle, how that could be certainly be a different situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that I just can't wrap my brain around. I mean, I've been driving for 38 years. It never occurred to me that when I'm making a left turn on a rural highway, that I need to check behind me to make sure some doofus isn't going to try to pass me on the left because he's got the right of way. Like that, what? That can't be right, you know?
You can't pass a vehicle on the left that's stopped trying to make a left turn. That's a totally different situation.
Okay, because I actually got told by FHP when I followed up on this that a turn signal is a request, not a right. And
I can see that
in certain circumstances, but when I'm turning and somebody's coming behind me, it feels like a right that they don't have to run into me from behind. But okay, all right. So I'm glad to know that it's not quite as bad as I thought it was. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, this is about online reports. A lot of departments have gone to this over the past few years, including the Pensacola Police Department, and there are some incidents that cannot be reported online. And the reason we brought this on to begin with is to make things faster for the people that have had issues, and also it keeps our patrol officers on other calls not answering these minor issues. So if it's a felony, you cannot report it online, such as a sexual assault or a battery where you know who the suspect is. Those things cannot be reported online. What can be reported are minor thefts and maybe some fraud, things like that. So if you know who the person is, if your loss is more than $750, which makes it a felony, these are reasons why you cannot report online. You must have an officer come out. Also, if there's evidence, if your car was broken into and there may be fingerprints on the car, you don't want to report that online. An officer needs to come out and look for evidence and process that car. So there are some things that if you're in doubt, you can always call dispatch. They can let you know what's reportable online and what is not.
Very good. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for the time, helping us understand the law better and keeping us safe. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
751 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. If you are in need of that next vehicle, hopefully not because yours was, you know, taken or broken into, or just because it got old, because that happens, or, you know, it's 4 years old and you want one that's a year old. I don't know what the case may be, but go to Frontier Motors, look around and see what they've got. They have a massive selection, 300 cars, trucks, all in one place, and you can look at a variety without having to drive around town. And you know how it is, you go to this place and you look at one, you go to that place, you look at one, you go to a third place, and by about the third or fourth one, you're like, what was that first one again? And then they all start to kind of meld together in your brain. Maybe I'm weird, but I think that's a pretty normal experience of it. At Frontier, if you drive three or four or five or six, they're all right there, and you can remind yourself what each one has, and you can even go back and drive it again. Oh, I didn't think about that. Like, that's the advantage of them all being in one place and having a great selection. Also, you can ask. They're experts. Ask them. What do people like? What don't they like? What are they complaining about? Do these resell well? Do they maintain well? Which ones are, you know, holding their value better than others? Ask them and treat them as a kind of an advisor, like a car buying guidance counselor. They can help you instead of the adversary that you're trying to, like, fight with over getting a good deal on a car that, you know, you don't really want to buy and they don't really want to sell you. I mean, you know, just don't think of it that way. They're there to help. For more than 2.5 decades, more than 25 years, Frontier Motors has been helping serve the Pensacola community right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I know what you're thinking, punk. You're thinking, did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself in all this excitement.
Always 5. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5s. John?
All right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. I've got some traffic issues to let you know about. One lane is blocked on the Bayou Tejar due to an 18 Wheeler broken down. That's westbound Bayou Tejar. So just be aware of that. Also got reports Highway 97 in Molino that goes to Atmore is always known as the Atmore cutoff. Thought that was a traffic report. There are two golden retrievers running around the I-110 north ramp to I-10.
What?
I just got the
I'd see it too. What?
Yeah. So just be aware of that. Also still dealing with the accident that happened over in Milton on 90 westbound, just east of Avalon Boulevard. We're still seeing traffic backed up all the way to Dogwood. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
At first, when I read this, I had Cervantes on the brain. There's a lot of houses around that area. I could see maybe how it... This is right here. If we like look out the window, if I go up on the roof, I can see two golden retrievers running around on the on-ramp. I mean, this is super dangerous. Oh, okay. Well, let's hope that, FHP is listening or Scammy Sheriff's Office. I know they're listening and, you know, get somebody out there to, you know, protect the dogs and take care of the people too. Wow. Okay. 437-1620 is my phone number. If you ever have any input, like traffic tips, or you want to agree or disagree with me, or, you know, I don't know, call me names. I mean, I don't recommend it. I won't call you names back, but, you know, if you come up with a good nickname for me, you might air it. You never know what will happen.
Please do. Please do. I need help.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the...
What have I done?
National Transportation Safety Board has released its preliminary report into the April 10th crash that killed a family of five and a helicopter pilot in New York. That probe says the sightseeing helicopter was on its eighth trip of the day when it broke apart into three sections and fell 700 feet into the Hudson River. The preliminary report has not drawn a conclusion as to exactly why that happened, though. North Korea fired what looked like several short-range ballistic missiles into the sea yesterday. South Korea's military speculated that North Korea might be testing weapons before exporting them. The missiles went about 500 miles before they hit the water. And eating ultra-processed food every day could apparently...
Will make you super healthy and live forever?
Well, no. Could double your risk of getting Parkinson's. New study shows that a dozen servings each day of foods such as hot dogs, soda, potato chips could speed up Parkinson's development. That study was published in the journal Neurology.
A dozen servings of hot dogs, chips, and soda. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, a dozen is a lot.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Serving
is like
a half
three
a hot
chips.
Dog or something. Yeah. Three
isn't, isn't one can of soda like two
four
servings? Serving?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's probably right. You probably, you know, backwards stumble into 12 servings just by going to, you know, the bring your own, you know, the
one inning at a ball game and you're there, you know?
That's right. One inning at a ball game. Well done. Oh, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There is a lawsuit that is being allowed to go forward that is suing Burger King, class action lawsuit, suing Burger King for selling Whoppers that aren't, as in that look puny and crummy and terrible and, you know, nothing like the ad. It's a false advertising lawsuit. And so they're actually suing. Now, we all get fast food that doesn't live up to the ad.
Exactly.
That's all fast food. And I thought this was silly, but U.S. District Judge Roy Altman in Florida found enough merit to let this go forward, advertising the Whopper cheeseburger and other menu items appearing to be much bigger than they are, 35% larger in size, he says. There was a lawsuit last year against McDonald's and Wendy's dismissed in September. Now, I know it sounds silly, but John, let me show you this picture of a theoretical Whopper. That's no Whopper.
No, that's not at all.
That's barely a McDonald's single.
Exactly.
And if I got that and I ordered a Whopper, I mean, I wouldn't sue, but that would not be satisfying.
No.
And if I got Joe Pesci in the car with me and it's a drive-thru, you know I'm going to hear about it. Because they treat you poorly at the drive-thru. Is that an exact quote? It's not an exact quote, right? Did I get that close? No, not really that close. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Pensacola Navy Days is going on now. The 4K run is May 10th. Sign up online.
PensacolaNavyDays.com.